ever heard of digital currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and buzzwords like blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and mining? Don't know what it all means or how to get started? Well, at Let's Talk Crypto, we break it all down in easy-to-understand terms and help you learn and earn in the age of cryptocurrencies. So welcome to the Let's Talk Crypto Show, brought to you by SchoolofCrypto.com with your hosts, Barry Moore and Tom Galeski.
Welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Crypto. In today's episode, we will be discussing our altcoin evaluation framework. This is a direct follow-on from our episode we did last week about altcoins. If you haven't listened to that episode, please go back and listen to it now. And today we'll be going deep on our evaluation process that Barry and I use. So today we're going to break down our framework, what our framework is, how you can use it, and how you can get started. So as always, joining me is my co-host, Mr. Barry. Good morning, my friend. How are you today?
Mildly obsessed, brother. Same as always.
Awesome, mate. So as we talked about last week on altcoins, we mentioned our framework that we've put together that we use when we evaluate the altcoin market. Let's go through today for our listeners how we use our little checkbox process to evaluate altcoins and make the decision whether we do or do not want to get involved with that particular coin.
Yeah, you'll hear everybody talking about, everyone has a standard disclaimer, us as well. We're not investment advisors. We're certainly not your investment advisor. Do your homework and make your own decision. Now, everybody says that, but nobody tells you what the homework actually is. So we're going to break down what we do for homework, and we have our altcoin evaluation sheet, which will be available to you. If you just head over to schoolofcrypto.com/show and go to the show notes, you'll be able to get your hot little hands on our framework as well, and you can use it for yourself. So let's talk about what we do and the steps we use when we want to evaluate a coin and decide whether we want to get involved with it. So the very first step I think that I look at is, what does this coin do? What's its reason for existence? What is it used for? So a lot of people just seem to be making these little copycat coins that are just like, you know, hey, I've got a coin too. You were telling me about one, Tom, that these guys set up, you were talking about the other day, they just set up a coin just to see if they could do it. Was it Joel Com and those guys set up Badcoin or something like that?
Yeah, I think they did it for fun and they're giving away 25,000 for people for liking their Facebook page. So I think there's a method behind their madness to try and get some likes on there. But it was also to highlight how simple and how easy it is for anybody to set up a coin and potentially raise money.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Anybody can set up a coin, you know, in a matter of a day or two. So if you're going to get involved in one of these coins, what is it used for? What does it do? What's its purpose? Why does it exist, right? So, you know, you've already got Bitcoin, which is the granddaddy of them all. So how is this potential coin different than Bitcoin? What is its market cap? So how much weight does it have? Is this a serious coin? Is it over a billion, you know, in market cap or over 50 million in market cap? What does it look? And we'll give you all the links on how we actually find this stuff out in just a minute. But what is its market cap? How long has it been around for? What's its unique value proposition? So, you know, what does it do that's different from others? So, you know, if you want to use Bitcoin as the standard bearer, how is it different from Bitcoin, or how is it better, or, you know, why would I choose this particular altcoin over the granddaddy of them all, Bitcoin? Because if you are going to do investing, you got to think about opportunity cost as well, right? So let's say you invest in an altcoin, it goes up 20%. And you're like, yay, that was great, 20%. And, you know, in the meantime, Bitcoin's gone up 50%, 40%. Your money had the opportunity to do something else. It had the opportunity to invest in Bitcoin. So if you're going to forego that opportunity, you better have a good reason, right? So why would I choose this coin over, you know, the standard bear, so to speak? So my money could be doing this other thing over here. Why would I put it in this particular area over here? So what does it do differently? So if you want to look at a couple of different coins as an example, let's take Dash, for example. Dash, how is Dash different from Bitcoin? It wants to be the digital cash that everybody uses. Well, so does Bitcoin. So what's the difference between the two? Well, you know, we can talk about a lot of differences a little bit throughout the show, but, you know, it's got a different governance model. It's got different features. It's got private send. It's got instant send. It's got they've got masternodes that earn rewards. They've got a treasury. They've got, in my opinion, a swifter, if not better, consensus model, which has been slowing Bitcoin down lately. So what are the things that make it different or make it unique? So have a look at that. What is its governance model? And by that, I mean, is it a centralized coin where there are a certain group of people making decisions? Is it decentralized? How are the decisions on the future roadmap of that coin made? So, you know, if they want to increase the block size, for example, you know, which is a big contention with Bitcoin, how is that decision going to be made? How is that consensus going to be reached? And then how is it mined? And how are block rewards distributed once they are mined? So all things to think about when you're evaluating the coin and the technology itself. So if you look at Dash, you know, Dash's reason to exist, as I said, they want to be the digital cash that your mother uses or your grandmother uses, right? In order to make that happen, they've got a different governance model to Bitcoin. For example, they've got different features to Bitcoin. If you look at something like Ripple, you know, it wants to be used by banks and financial institutions for cross-border transactions. So it has a very different governance model. It's much more centralized. It's a very different target market to, say, Bitcoin, for example. So what about that coin is different, unique? What about that coin do you particularly like or resonate with? Does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah, it does, matey. So what I also want to clarify for our listeners, now, throughout all of our podcast episodes, we'll mention coins and ICOs. Now, I just want to clarify that if we're talking about a particular, let's say, coin in this instant, it's not us endorsing that coin. We just want to highlight through examples and through some of the noise that's out in the media and on the YouTubes and the Twitters and stuff about, you know, people mentioning a particular coin. So it is part of our disclaimer that even though we're talking about specific coins or ICOs, it doesn't mean that we're endorsing them, because even if we did have a holding in a particular coin, when we record these episodes to when they're published, that could be a week or two apart. Now, a week or two in crypto world is huge. Things change literally within, you know, within 30 minutes. The coins can go up and down 30, 40%. So just consider that when doing part of your research. The fact that we're just talking about a coin, we're using that more as an example to help highlight things rather than saying, hey, listen, by the way, you should go buy Dash or Ripple or Neo or whatever coin we're mentioning. So I really just want to put that out there, Barry, that just because we mention a coin, it doesn't mean that we're actually endorsing that particular coin.
Yeah, listener, and you may be listening to, we don't know when you're going to be listening to this, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months in the future, so from the time we recorded it. So obviously, again, this is just a framework that you can use to make your own evaluation of the coin. So don't take our word for it. Do your homework. Which homework do you do? That's what the sheet's for.
Yeah, and Barry, you mentioned quite a few different terms about, you know, unique value proposition, and we talk about market cap, and we talk about, you know, governance, and we talk mining and block rewards. So we actually have a full glossary of terms set up on schoolofcrypto.com/glossary, where we can cover off those terms. So if you're not 100% across our definition of what we think they mean, please refer to that website, and that can explain to you what some of those terms actually mean for you.
And if you want a review of some of the terminology used in the crypto world, you can go back to episode number 2, which is all about terminology.
Yeah, great point, Barry. That's we just want to make sure that everybody understands these definitions, just so, again, to help for clarity when they're doing their evaluation. Now, Barry mentioned a lot of different things about the different coins when we do an evaluation. One of the best resources, and we've referred to this before, but the it's coinmarketcap.com website. There'll be a link in the show notes, so don't worry, but this is the heartbeat of cryptocurrency. So this will list Bitcoin, of course, all the altcoins that we're talking about now. And the good thing about this site is it is the central dumping ground for all of these coins, meaning that if you want to do some research, like Barry mentioned, on Dash or Ripple as two absolute just examples that we've picked out because they're pretty common, they're pretty popular, they're in the top 10. So we thought we'll choose a couple of examples to show and illustrate. I know we're talking on a podcast, but to go through the process of how we use our evaluation framework check sheet to evaluate these two particular coins. If you go to coinmarketcap.com and click on that particular coin, so if I go to coinmarketcap.com, click on Dash, the first thing it's going to give me is a summary of that particular coin. Now, by summary, I mean it'll give you the official website, any official announcements. You can actually explore their blockchain. You can have links to the source code of the particular coin or algorithm. You can identify what exchanges they exist on. So if you did want to buy them or see what the volume is like in different countries around the world, this is the place to go. One of the things that we've seen, especially in this up-and-coming crypto world, is there are a lot of websites out there that are clones of the original website. The goal of these clones is for you to log in or give you their details so they can steal your identity. We've seen this time and time again. So the reason why we like CoinMarketCap, that's the official place where these companies will put all their information. That way you don't have to go to Google and rely on a Google search, because with marketing and SEO and all the techniques that exist out there, it's actually, I want to say very easy, but it's possible for third-party companies that have ill intention to outrank the official websites. We don't want you to do that. So CoinMarketCap is the first place to go. And then we can go through the evaluation framework check sheet. And a lot of those links and the elements that we talk about, like the CoinMarketCap, the value proposition, having a look at their Discord chat or their message board, or have a looking at their source code, all those links can be found on the CoinMarketCap website. And it's the perfect place to start when doing any type of research or evaluation on a coin.
Yeah, very good advice. And so when you're online in this whole crypto space, you know, there's lots of people out there that are trying to trick you and take your money. So you know how you feel when you're standing at the ATM and there's somebody behind you looking over your shoulder? That's how you should feel when you're online all the time. Just be paranoid. Always check that you're on the right site, that you're HTTPS, you've gone to the right place, because there are a lot of scammers out there.
Yeah, and a lot of these coins, specifically, they're new companies. Some of them don't have an established business. Some of them do have an established business. So it's really important to engage with them. A big communication or part of the communication platform that these coins are using are things like Discord. They're using Steam. These are the communities that they've set up so you can go there and actually chat to people that might be involved in the team or the developers if it's a technical type coin. Also, the community that's there, ask questions, because anyone could build a website and say how awesome they are and this wonderful product that they do, and they can make up any information that they like, which is, unfortunately, it's getting more and more popular for people to do that. So if you get involved in the communities and ask direct questions, you can filter out some of that noise, some of the keyboard warriors, where the normal people like you and me that maybe want to invest in this company, you can actually ask specific questions.
And that's a perfect segue into the second part of our framework, which is all about the team. So the first part of the framework is all about the coin and the technology and the governance behind it. The second part of our framework is all about the team. So who are the people behind that coin? So who are they? Are they high profile? Have you ever heard of them before? Have they published a lot of articles or et cetera online? Are they out actively supporting the coin, marketing the coin? Do they have any other high profile backers backing this coin and saying it's a good thing? Do they have any other industry partnerships? Are they partnering with debit cards and ATM cards or the ATM manufacturers, online e-commerce people? Do they have industry partnerships that would dramatically help? Again, if you look at Ripple, for example, lots of partnerships with different banks, established banking partners. So, you know, they've got a great partnership network. What's their track record and history? How long have they been around? Do they have a development framework? Have they been hitting that development framework? You know, if they say they're going to release something in December or January, does it get released in December, January? Are there problems or bugs, etc.? So what's their track record in delivering on their promises? How big is their development team? You know, I've seen coins that are one guy, two guys, and then you've got bigger projects like Dash who have quite a large development team. So, and then how big is their development team? And what is the profile of their developers, right? So if you look at, you know, Bitcoin, for example, they got really high profile development developers in the core team, you know, really smart, super smart people. Or is this just some guy in the living room deciding he's going to make his own coin, right? So how big is the dev team and what's their profile? And again, what's the roadmap for the coin? Do they have a specific roadmap of deliverables on, you know, January, we're going to do this, March, we're going to do that, in July, we're going to have this live. And have they met their past targets on the roadmap as well? So those are things you can think about and evaluate when you're looking at the team behind the coin. And which brings us to the next section, which is the market. So but what I mean by that is, what is the market for this coin? Who's going to use it, for example? So what's the addressable market that this coin's going after? If you look at something like Bitcoin or Dash, you know, they're going after everybody. They want it to make, they want to make it the money that everybody spends instead of fiat currency, right? So that's a pretty huge addressable market. That's everybody on earth, essentially. But if you look at some of the other coins might be specifically aimed towards gamers, for example, right? So while gamers is a big community, or gamblers, for example, online gambling, well, that's a big community. It's certainly a smaller addressable market than everyone on the planet. So, or if you look at Ripple, for example, Ripple is really kind of targeted to financial institutions and banks and stuff like that. You're probably never going to buy your groceries with Ripple, right? So what's the addressable market? What target are they going after? Is it everyone, or is it just a niche? What are the other things you can look at, Tom?
Yeah, one of the big things that I look at is, if this is a coin or it's a business and it's established and wants to obviously get some money, some revenue, we've got to be able to buy into that. So I always look at what exchanges that they're listed on. Now, if you go to back to coinmarketcap.com, select a specific coin, one of the tabs, it's second from the left, it's called markets. Now, if you click on markets, it'll actually show you what exchange these particular coins are listed on and what currency you can exchange. So as an example, we've talked about this in previous episodes, not all of them can use normal fiat or cash money to buy into that. Some of them you actually need to trade with either Bitcoin or even Ethereum. So the first thing you need to do is buy some Bitcoin, and then you can use Bitcoin to exchange for that coin. So when I'm doing part of the evaluation process, I want to understand what exchanges that they're listed on and also understand how I can actually get a hold of some of these coins. Now, Barry, another thing as well is when we do the evaluation is just to have a look at what everyone's saying about it. Now, if I was the founder of a coin and I've built a beautiful website and it promises the world and doesn't really do anything, it's very easy for us to make it look really pretty. So having a look at how the public are interacting with these people, there's a couple of resources which I'll go through now. But again, back to CoinMarketCap, the next tab across, so you've got the chart, which talks about the value of that particular coin. You've got markets, which I just talked about, to talk about where you can actually go to buy that currency. The next tab across is social. So that'll plug into things like their Twitter feed. So you can see how active they are. If they're hitting these timelines that Barry was talking about, we've got a new update to the wallet coming out, or we're releasing this technology, or we're rolling out 10,000 ATMs or whatever it might be. If you look at that social feed, if they're active, again, it's a good sign that they are real. There are real people behind this company and they're trying to deliver on their promises. I will also say, be very careful here. In earlier episodes, I talked about some of these high-yield investment programs, which did have coins off the back of them, and they were very active on the social media. Yet they still shut down and ran away with everybody's money. So it's up to you to do your evaluations, but that social tab, again, back to CoinMarketCap, it's a nice, simple place to go to be able to look at what those particular people that run the coin and are publishing what's current in their world. Another really cool area, because we're looking at right now over 1,300 different coins that exist in this world of crypto that we're talking about. Now, one of the original forums or one of the original websites where people have been talking about crypto, including Bitcoin back in its early, early days, is bitcointalk.org. We'll put a link in the show notes for that. But there's an area on that forum which is called alternate cryptocurrencies. And then you can go down to the next area, which is announcements for altcoins. So if you want to really get involved and see what's coming, what's new, and complete some of the evaluation early in the piece to try and be an early adopter, this is where people would go to post. Now, this is also a good sign that if they've gone to the effort to go to bitcointalk.org, go under that particular announcements area for altcoins, again, they will publish all their official website, their Facebook, their Twitter, maybe YouTube, all the social media elements that would exist. It's a good sign that if they've put it in there for the public to see and to interact with, that means that they're trying to do the right thing. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be shonky, but it does mean that they've made that first effort. So if you see a coin come out and they haven't necessarily listed on that forum or had all that social media interaction, then and they're not prominent, they're not active, it's not a really good sign. So you can obviously make your decision from that. But the more active they are in all these communities, it's a good telltale sign that these guys are legit to a degree. And then you have to see what they actually do as a product. And this is where the research element that we keep talking about is.
Yeah. So some really good places to start. We'll have links in the show notes. You know, Twitter is always great. Are people talking about it? Are there hashtags people talking about this? Bitcointalk.org, as Tom said, do they run their own forums? So does the coin have its own forums? Discord is an app where there's a lot of chit-chat back and forth about coins. How active is that? Look at the last time somebody posts. How many posts a day are there? Are the owners or developers actively in there themselves, or is it just other people talking about the coins? But again, we'll have all the links in the show notes sort of give you a place to start. So I guess another thing to think about is what network effects does this coin have? So a big element of Bitcoin's popularity is all the network effects that go along with Bitcoin, right? So we'll talk about a few of them here. So there's speculation. So are speculators coming into the market thinking, backing this coin? You know, do they think, you know, everyone thinks Bitcoin's going somewhere, so a lot of speculators come in, they buy it, the price goes up. So are speculators is one network effect. Consumer adoption. So especially those coins that want to be, the cash that everybody uses, like Bitcoin and Dash, etc. are consumers adopting it for the purpose it was intended, right? So you could make an argument that, you know, Bitcoin is not really being used as the cash that people spend every day, right? You're not going and buying your groceries with Bitcoin. You'd kind of be really, really stupid to do that considering how much it appreciates on a daily basis. But so can consumers use the coin? Do merchants take the coin? What is the adoption rate from consumers? What is the adoption rate from merchants? How secure is it? What security is built up around the ecosystem? So, for example, if you look at Bitcoin and Dash and Litecoin, etc., you know, you can get all those and put those onto a Trezor or a Ledger or a hardware wallet of some sort, but you can't do that with every single coin. So the security infrastructure has grown up around certain coins and has grown to a lesser degree around other coins, right? So developer mindshare is another network effect. So all the great developers out there, the super smart people, the smartest guys in the room, where do they actually want to go and work? Which projects do they want to work on, right? So which projects are attracting the smartest talent, right? So that's something to think about. And then financialization as well. So if you're not familiar with that term, it just means it's the process by which financial institutions and markets, et cetera, increase in size and influence, right? So if you look at the market cap of Bitcoin as compared to everything else, you know, it's huge. It's had a lot of financialization. Its market cap is 3-4 times the next competitor, right? So not only that, but then you have other, you know, with these new futures contracts that'll be launching soon, you have traditional financial institutions coming into the Bitcoin ecosystem as well. So it's becoming a mainstream financial instrument, which it wasn't, you know, say 1 or 2 years ago. So how quickly is that process happening, or do you expect it to happen for a coin that you might be interested in? So those are some of the network effects that will happen around a coin to kind of accelerate its growth and adoption.
Nicely said, Mr. Barry. Now, I just wanted to highlight something else. Now, another area to look at with all this evaluation process is not one single point of information. I know I hamper on about coinmarketcap.com, and it is brilliant. It's a great summary of everything, but don't take that one source, their website, as all information. So in the show notes, I'm going to list some other links of other sites that will actually go through and cover some of, not only about the pricing, the evaluation of these coins, but other areas where news is published. So cryptocompare.com is a really good website. As I talked about in the previous episode on the categories of coins, like currencies and privacy coins and platforms and all the rest of it, this cryptocompare.com website, you can actually compare coins that are in that particular category. CoinGecko is really good for a summary of what the business or that coin does. So that's a really good resource. CoinDesk and Cointelegraph are news sites. Now, we've got to be very careful here. They want you to click. They want you to read the article. So not everything that you read there is 100% true per se. Some of them might be clickbait or used to spread FUD, which is the fear of uncertainty and doubt. So just be careful. But again, this is part of the framework. Don't just go to one website, have a look at this site and say, wow, these guys are really cool. Let's click on that. Yep, that's great. Let's go and invest versus go to 3 or 4 different sources. And yes, like Barry said, and like we've talked about already, go through the Discord, go through the YouTube, go through the Twitter and see that the guy's interactive. So for those of you out there thinking that, oh, this coin looks really good, I'll just buy it. No, there's actually a lot of work that goes into making decisions. I know Barry and I have, you know, worked pretty hard behind the scenes on our own investment strategies, and we're still learning. Like we don't know everything about this stuff. And because this whole crypto world is not like what we've ever been used to, it's not like the traditional stock market or real estate. The prices and the fluctuations and the volatility it's never been seen before. This is unturned soil. This is unsailed seas. This is a whole new different world. And for the most part, it's pretty scary. The fact that a coin can go up 30-40% in an hour and it can go down in 30-40% in an hour, it's very, very scary stuff. So the whole idea of why we put this framework together is to allow you to, you know, do an evaluation, have a little bit of a checkbox, and then you make your decision. If it ticks 4 out of the 5 boxes, does that mean I'm going to buy into this or not? That's up to you guys to make a decision on.
Another perfect segue, Tom. I love your work. So let's talk about the last part of the framework, which is the plan. So once you've invested your money and once you're in it, you kind of have a different vision and a different perspective. So before you go jumping in the ocean, it might be a really good idea to figure out how you're going to get out first. So I always think it's better before you even put your first dollar in to come up with a plan about what is the event, price, thesis, trigger that would cause you to buy this coin, So, for example, is they sign a partnership with a debit card company and people can swipe their debit card and pay with, you know, whatever currency. Is that an event that would trigger you to buy? Now available at ATMs, would that be an event that would trigger you to buy? So what is the event, the price, the thesis that would cause you to buy this coin? And more importantly, before you put your first dollar in, what is the event, price, or thesis that would cause you to sell? So what's your exit point going to be? So have an idea of what your exit point will be before you ever get into the coin in the first place. You know, if it goes up 500%, am I out? If they have a hack of their wallet, is that going to cause me to sell? Like what's going to cause me to get out is just as important as to what's going to cause you to get in. So have a little bit of a plan, have some bullet points about that. This would be convince me to get in, and these things would convince me to get out, so that you have a dispassionate list of things you can evaluate before you even put a dollar in. Because once the money goes in, you're going to be seeing this whole thing a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Barry, I know that we're going through a framework, which is a document with checklists and all the rest of it, but it's really hard for us to maybe explain that through a podcast. So how about we pick a particular coin that perhaps you're familiar with and apply this framework structure on a particular coin, and then we can sort of just guide through as an example. I think for the listeners at home, it might help clarify how we use the framework and just a bit of a step-by-step process. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, sure. Sounds great.
All right, so I know that you've done a ton of research on Dash. I know we've mentioned it a couple times in this episode. Okay, you've heard about this Dash thing. It's come up in a Twitter feed. People are talking about it. What would the first step for you?
Yeah, so I think I was kind of first exposed to Dash just by just trolling through the first page of CoinMarketCap there, which has the, top 100 coins or whatever there. And I heard some chitter chatter on social media, et cetera, about Dash and Monero, and I was looking at cloud mining contracts, and I bought some Bitcoin cloud mining contracts from Genesis Mining, and then I noticed there were other contracts there for things like Monero and Dash and Ethereum. So I started doing a bit of homework on those different ones. And so I started looking at Dash because people were talking about it. So I went to CoinMarketCap and I noticed that, you know, it's a fairly big coin. Since I first started looking at it, it's gone up quite a lot, which is nice. But I think it's up to the time of recording, it's up to the number 6 spot on CoinMarketCap. But when I was looking at it, it was much lower than that. So I went over to their website, followed the link from CoinMarketCap over to their website, and started reading all the documentation there about what they were and what they wanted to become. So what was their vision for that particular coin, and how is that different from Bitcoin? So I kind of always compare it to Bitcoin. Like, how is this different? Why would I buy Dash over buying Bitcoin, for example? And that's not to say that I do. I own both. So that led me to reading their white paper on their site and their roadmap of where they wanted to take the product. And then that led me to YouTube, and they do a lot of marketing, and I can explain how that happens, but they do a lot of marketing. So there was a lot of information on YouTube. There's a woman named Amanda B. Johnson who's did an entire series on Dash called Dash to Tail, which is really great if you're interested in Dash. But so they had a lot of information for potential users of Dash as to how the coin was structured, why it existed, how it differed from Bitcoin, where they wanted to go, what they wanted to do. And then I kind of dug into the more technical aspects of it from the white paper on how the network was made up, how the governance model worked, and how that was very kind of different from Bitcoin, and some of the what I see as advantages in their governance structure over Bitcoin and their consensus structure. I mean, I really liked that. I was like, wow, these guys have thought about this stuff and thought it through really well. And then so I started to do, it's easy, like you said, everyone's website paints a really great picture of themselves, but what are other people saying about Dash? So, you know, I get on places like Discord and Steemit and Twitter and look at the comments in the YouTube videos, etc. And obviously there's a lot of trolling that goes on out there. So one coin always tries to rip another coin down. So you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt, but try and get a feel for, I always do the opposite, right? Every investing thesis I have, I also have the question is, I always ask myself, what if I'm completely wrong? So then the very next thing I searched or Googled was why people hate Dash. So I wanted to see what the other team was saying. So I heard what the Dash team was saying and what the Dash fans were saying. I also wanted to hear about what the detractors were saying about it as well and do my homework about what the detractors were saying as much as what the fans were saying. And you can do that obviously on social media and Steemit and all the different forums that are around that we've mentioned previously. Yep. So I did all my homework there. And then I just made the decision, you know, do I resonate with the direction of Dash and how they're set up, or do I not? I mean, you could put your money a lot of different places, but at the end of the day is, you know, do they have a solid foundation according to our framework? And then do I really agree with it? So there are some coins there that have a really solid foundation, but I just don't necessarily agree with it, or their value proposition doesn't excite me. And they may be a totally valid coin, but if it doesn't resonate with me, it doesn't excite me. There's plenty out there that will. So that's kind of, does that answer your question?
Oh, I think it does. So just maybe to summarize that. So you found the listing through another site, or you come across it through the CoinMarketCap. You went coinmarketcap.com, clicked on their particular coin listing. You went to their website. You tried to understand what made them different to Bitcoin. You read their white paper to understand more about the company and the business behind the company and actually what they do. You analyzed the roadmap of the site to have a look at, well, look at the promises. What are they doing? When are they going to be releasing things into the marketplace? Then you went to their YouTube channel. And obviously, like in this instant, they had their marketing's really good, like you talked about. They had a nice YouTube video that covered a lot of the things about their network and their governance structure and what makes them different to Bitcoin, which is awesome. Then you went through the social. So this is more of the crowdsourced information from Discord. You mentioned Steemit, Twitter. You looked at the YouTube comments on the videos. Now, like you mentioned, there's trolls on there that'll talk negative, but that's not a bad thing because you can actually get those negative comments and search for them. Right, so you can get a feel for the good stuff and the rainbows and the unicorns and go, wow, this is awesome. But then actually Googling the negative aspects to investigate further to see if they are just trolls or there actually is some justification in what they're saying. And then from all of that, you put all together and go, you know, how do I feel with this? Do I go or do I not go? Is that about right as a quick little summary of the framework there?
Yeah, and then I would just throw in there, always have a look at, always say to yourself, what if I'm wrong? And then look at the flip side of your thesis, like, oh, I think Dash is good. Why do other people hate it, right? So, you know, then I went and Googled, like, what do I hate about Dash? And just read that and then see if you resonate with that or see if it's valid and or if it's not valid or even if they are bringing up some valid points, do those points necessarily matter to you? So, that's a great summary, Tom. Thanks.
No worries. And have a look at the timeline with these things with comments because we talked about, actually in the last episode, we talked about the category of masternodes. Now, in that episode, we talked about a masternode for Dash being valued at $300,000. At the time of recording this, it's over $1 million.
$1 million Australian. Yeah.
Or a million Aussie. So again, it's double, in even US, it's over double what it was a week ago. So we're talking about these things and we're mentioning them on the podcast, but things change so quickly in this crypto world. So this is why this research is so important because this market being so volatile, it changes a lot. So you have to revisit this and look at these comments. So they might have made a comment from a month ago, but a month ago to now, different type of investment. So reading the white paper, understanding their roadmap, and then looking at all the noise around that business can help you evaluate if that's a good idea or not to invest in that particular company. So having said all that, we talk about stuff on the podcast. We want to bring our experiences and share our opinions on things. And that's all they are. They're our opinions. So obviously take them with a grain of salt. But in saying that, if you want to be a little bit more up to date, events, understand what's happening in different coins or what we call coin talk, we've got a private Facebook group set up that we'd love you guys to come and join. That way we can talk about real life things as they happen. We post quite regularly in there. So if we see any type of news or information out there about different things, we'd love to be able to share that with our listeners. So because this podcast medium, we don't actually know when you're listening to this. So if you really want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest and as things happen, just go to Facebook and search for School of Crypto. It is a private group. We'll get you in there, of course. We'd love to be able to communicate with you and answer questions if you've got any other ideas or topics, or so we can keep you up to date. That's the best place to go because it's real time and we're pretty active on it. So we'd love to see you in there so we can communicate with you.
Yeah, great. So just head over to Facebook, search schoolofcrypto.com, and we'll let you in. All right. So that's a bit about our framework, the coin, the team, the market, and the plan. If you want a copy of this framework, you can go grab one for yourself over at schoolofcrypto.com/framework, download it, and you can use it to evaluate any other coins you might be looking at. So that brings this episode to an end. If you have any questions, just head over to schoolofcrypto.com and feel free to leave us your feedback or comments. In the meantime, we'd really love it if you could head over to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It really helps drive it up the ratings and get it in front of more people. So if you enjoy the content, head over to iTunes, leave us a review, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah, thanks, Barry, and bye, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk Crypto Podcast. You can find the links, show notes, and all the latest cryptocurrency news over at schoolofcrypto.com.